live from Studio 5. Mike and Judy with you. Time to talk environmental issues. And this one hits close to home for me. Growing up in Ottawa, the Rideau Canal, I mean, that was sort of front and center for us. I lived about a 10-minute block away from the Rideau Canal. I skated to school at Carleton University on the canal. In the wintertime, I'd ride my bike alongside the canal in the summer and the fall. And recently, while carrying out repairs of the stone walls along a stretch of the canal in downtown Ottawa, toxins were disturbed at the bottom of the canal that has sat dormant for the past 50 years. To gain perspective on what it all means, we're happy to welcome back to our show the host of Bluefish Radio, Lawrence Gunther. Lawrence, welcome back.
Thank you, Mike. Hi, Joita. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
So, how did these toxins make their way into the Rideau Canal to begin with?
You know, believe it or not, that canal, before it became a big green space that we all love to walk along and enjoy in the winter and summer and all that, it was crowded in by industry. There was a lot of industry posted along that canal. And you know, industry likes to go along the river or likes to go along the shorelines because it's a great way to transport raw materials and your finished goods before there was, especially before, you know, roads and rails. It was a good source of water for the production of power through water wheels or even hydroelectricity. Water is really crucial in most manufacturing processes. And unfortunately, water is a handy place to make things disappear like waste.
How dangerous are these toxins that we're talking about here on the canal?
They're talking about lead and cadmium and some other, you know, bizarre chemicals that they know cause cancer. They know this stuff is stuck in the mud. They don't know how much is there, but we know that if you ingest this, or even if you it can be absorbed through the skin, you can get sick, or it can cause cancer, or it can cause issues depending on the level of concentration. You know, there's a canoe rental business that just opened up on the canal to replace the tour boats that don't go up and down the canal anymore. But I wouldn't want to be one of those, you know, canoers who fell out of the canoe and landed in this stuff, because it's not that deep, right, along the walls. It's not that deep. So you could definitely get your feet in there. And for the fish, I mean, there are definitely a lot of different types of fish that live in that canal. Carleton University's done a lot of studies on the fish, you know, all sizes, big apex predators. We know there's 60 large muskellunge that live in the canal that are all over 40 inches long. And they're biomassing this stuff. So if someone catches one of these, or a bird eats it, or an animal eats it, or, you know, a human eats it, you don't know. So all this testing still has to be done. How much is there? How much along the canal is contaminated? To what level? And they have to test the fish. Are the fish safe to eat?
Now, aren't we talking about a World Heritage Site? I mean, it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and it steps away from Parliament Hill. I would imagine if I were a politician, I'd be pretty darn embarrassed.
With Canada 150th, can you imagine, you know, come to Ottawa and celebrate Canada's 150th birthday, but don't put your hand in the canal. And there's going to be tour boats up and down there and kayakers and paddle boats and all sorts of watercraft in that canal. I'm not saying no one's going to get sick, but we don't know. The main thing, though, is how we respond to this, I think, will send out an important message. And maybe this is the silver lining on this dark cloud. You know, if they test properly, and they test the fish properly, and they do a remediation strategy, and they monitor and set up all these processes, I think there's a lot of people across Canada that are going to be watching this. I mean, we know only about half the toxic waste sites, hot spots in the Great Lakes have been cleaned up so far. And we know there's other toxic hot spots. Just about anywhere where there was industry along our shorelines, there's toxic hot spots. And there's people who live along those waters and know about these things. And they're going to be watching Ottawa to see how it does. And they're going to want the same level of remediation that Ottawa gets, right? I mean, look how long those poor First Nations people in the Grassy Narrows there in Western Ontario fought to have the mercury cleaned up there from that old pulp and paper mill. And only finally, after years and years and years of ingesting mercury, fish-laden, mercury, that they're finally now having a commitment from the Ontario government to clean that up.
It's live from Studio 5 on AMI Audio. Lawrence Gunther, our environmental expert, and talking to us a little bit about the toxins that have been disturbed in the bottom of the Rideau Canal as they're carrying out repairs to the stone walls on the canal in Ottawa. Lawrence, I guess the question is, as these toxins rise to the top here, have we learned any lessons from the industries of the past? I mean, are companies maybe learning to sort of step away from some of the polluting behavior they've had in the past?
I would say yes and no. I mean, for sure, we have, you know, Environment Canada that does water testing. We have, you know, provincial governments that do testing. We have conservation authorities. I mean, we have all sorts of regulatory and watchdog kind of organizations that look out for these sorts of things. But at the same time, we also continue to issue permits to mining companies in the north to use lakes to deposit their tailings in. And these tailings are highly, highly toxic acids and other types of poisons that they use to actually melt rock to get the gold and silver and other precious metals out. You know, they just melt the rock using this stuff. And when the chemicals are diluted where they don't work so well, they put it in a lake because it's convenient. It's this big storage pond. And there's about 80 permits for this type of storage that have been issued by the federal government to mines. We know, you know, the tailings ponds there in Alberta from the tar sands, those are full of chemicals and, you know, they're leaking into the Athabasca River. We know that. We have Environmental Canada reports saying that. So, you know, yes and no. Yes and no. It's we're not there yet.
But Lawrence, look, I mean, you talked about the Athabasca River. You talked about the mercury poisoning for Grassy Narrows. And now we have this latest example, which is clearly an embarrassment that involves the Rideau Canal. And these are companies that are minting money. Don't they have sort of an obligation as good corporate citizens to clean up after themselves? I mean, everybody is stuck dealing with the aftermath of the pollution that they're leaving behind.
In our society, corporations have legal entity status. So they're like almost like a human. So, you know, if a company is alive, it's responsible. But if it dies, like if it goes bankrupt, it's no longer responsible. It's dead. The owners that own that company are not responsible because the company, it's not their child, right? It's like if you're a parent, you're responsible for your child until your child becomes an adult. And then whatever your child does, they're responsible. And that's the same with a company. So if companies go bankrupt, and which they often do, especially if they, you know, the resources have been extracted and there's no longer any use to have that company and they see maybe there's a big mess, they let it go bankrupt. And even the people that work at that company, unless they're known as breaking laws, unless they've broken actual laws, they can be charged for breaking those laws. But even the people who work at the company can't be charged for what the company does.
What's coming up on the next episode of Bluefish Radio, Lawrence?
Well, you know, this really ties in nicely because, you know, there's 100 countries around the world that have adopted an environmental bill of rights, which means the environment has rights and the environment has a right not to be destroyed. Now, we haven't adopted that in Canada yet, but out of the David Suzuki Foundation, they started an initiative called Blue Dot. And they're going municipality by municipality across Canada. And these municipalities are adopting this Blue Dot initiative, which says that they will, you know, make sure their environment and their municipality has the right not to be destroyed. So we're going to be talking to someone from David Suzuki Foundation about the Blue Dot initiative and about Environmental Bill of Rights.
Very good. Lawrence, always a pleasure having you on here. Thanks very much for dropping by again.
My pleasure, you guys.
Lawrence Gunther of Bluefish Radio, our environmental expert. You can catch Bluefish Radio Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern right here on AMI Audio. And I guarantee you will be entertained and you will be educated on Bluefish Radio.